This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. We've been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, will a Biden administration change the way America is viewed globally? We've had about 100 votes so far, and the prevailing opinion seems to be that no change thus far to the way America's perceived under a Biden administration. But do let us know what you think. In the meantime, we are currently looking at the fact that EPF members are now allowed to withdraw their savings from account one. Various economists have come out to say that the move is unprecedented and ultimately not a good idea, as most of these members already lack a sufficient amount for their retirement. Even EPF, which has been urging members to ensure they have enough savings for their retirement, concedes that it is a tough decision to allow these kinds of withdrawals.
Dr. Ye Kim Ling, professor of economics at Sunway University, for example, has described this move as kicking the can down the road. He told newspapers that he doesn't see this as a good idea to allow the withdrawal of the already meager retirement savings of low and middle income groups. And I think the sentiment is also echoed by RHB research economist Peck Boon Soon. However, I also want to just point out that the Breakfast Grill yesterday, that we had the interview with Johan Merican, the director of the National Budget Office at the Ministry of Finance. We asked him why was this move mooted, and he said this scheme was really mainly to benefit those who are in need of cash, and he thinks that it may be mainly the M40, the middle income 40, and they tend to fall out of the pre-Hartin coverage.
So for more on this morning, we have on the line with us Professor Jeffrey Williams, economist at Help University. Professor, thank you so much for speaking with us today. Now, it's been said that the extraordinary circumstances caused by COVID-19 gives leeway for members to take this advance from their EPF account. Could there have been another way, though, for the government to address this?
Hi, good morning. Well, I think there is actually. I mean, there are many other ways of looking at this problem. I mean, if we take a look at what the program is trying to achieve, it's aiming to help people who've lost their job or who've had a pay cut or who otherwise don't have any source of income because of the impact of the policy response to the COVID-19 crisis. So in that sense, of course, it's good that we have policies aimed at trying to help people. And it will be around 2 million people, according to the EPF estimates, who will be eligible to take part in this scheme. But as Noel has just sort of indicated, there really isn't any economic argument to say that this particular type of program, which is withdrawal from a pension fund, is the best way to help this group. If you want to help this group and many other people in the same position who aren't eligible because they're not EPF members, for example, and there will be millions of people in that group, the government could simply just provide direct financial aid to the people who have been affected in the form of a grant. And this can be recoverable through taxes later on when the economy recovers. It's perfectly normal and perfectly achievable as a crisis response. Or they could offer it as a conditional soft loan. If they don't want to hand out a direct grant, they make it clear that it's a loan. Although you need to understand that under the current circumstances where people are uncertain about their future income, they might be hesitant to take out any form of loan because they might not be sure if they can repay it in the future. So generally speaking, economists would argue that a direct grant is what's necessary.
You previously argued that the EPF system is long overdue for a change. How do you think it can be changed or overhauled? Is there a system in the world you think EPF is best suited to be modelled on?
Well, actually, I think that we need to look at the whole welfare system, not just the pensions component. The pensions component is a very, very important part of it. But we did some research back in 2012 and again in 2017, looking at the reform of the whole welfare system. And we looked at this in the context of the social market economy model, which is used in Germany. Now, this model is a very good model in my view. It's not completely applicable in Malaysia. It's also very expensive. But it does give us some pointers about what reform of the system needs to aim for. The system's got to be universal. At the moment, the welfare system in Malaysia and the pensions component is very partial. Some people have it, some people don't. If you're a civil servant, you have a different package to if you're working in the private sector for EPF, and there are many people who don't have anything at all. So we need to have a universal system. Secondly, it's got to be fully funded. And people can't really use it as a saving scheme, which can be withdrawn, because that's at the root of the problem we're seeing now with the EPF. In the crisis period, they go and they see that they don't have very much in their account because they haven't paid enough in the past, or they've been withdrawing it and haven't replenished it. And so people must maintain, if you want to call it a national savings account, if you like, all the way through their life, so that they don't wind up in a position that people are in now, where, for example, we know that 65% of the EPF members who are below 54 years old, they have less than 50,000 in total savings, and they deplete it within 3 years. And so it's difficult to say that it's actually giving them any form of safety net in the long term. So generally, we need to look at these issues. But what I would like to emphasize is Malaysians need to have a conversation about what type of system they want in order to support people from the cradle to the grave, and to come to a consensus about what is a living income level and how are we going to achieve that in terms of savings. So it's not really a matter of Malaysia adopting somebody else's model. It's really about Malaysia looking to create a social consensus to understand what would a new Malaysian model look like. And it's urgent now, because we're seeing that in a crisis, things really get very tough for people very quickly.
Well, speaking about that, you know, I just want to take your point earlier about giving out soft loans or grants. Mm. At the same time, the government is also trying to manage a fiscal deficit position to possibly avoid another rating downgrade. You know, in light of this, how do you suggest that the government manage, you know, some of these different, you know, conditions that they are facing?
Well, essentially, it's a political decision. The government has announced the budget, $322.5 billion, the biggest ever. So the government does actually have the money. It has found the money somewhere. The question is, how does it want to spend that money? And this is a question of their priorities and how they want to allocate it. And they could, if they made the political decision, they could allocate this in the form of direct grants to people in need, or soft loans, if they made that decision, because they have the money. Now, this form of direct cash handout is something we advocated, and even some politicians have advocated. Shafi Abdal from Wawasan, in his pre-budget analysis, he also said that this type of direct grant was something that could be considered. And it would cost about the same as this EPF proposal. But the difference is that under the current proposal, essentially the government is making people use their own life savings to pay for the lockdown, which is not their fault. Whereas under an alternative system where they received money from the public sector, or from the public purse, the government would be basically saying, it's not your fault that you've had these problems, therefore we're helping you out. So the money is there, actually, and it isn't necessarily a case that they would have to, as you mentioned, involve themselves with further debt. They can allocate the money they have already.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Professor. That was Professor Geoffrey Williams, economist at Help University. And I think echoing as well some calls that I've heard from other economists when it comes to offering that kind of social safety net, that really it should be the government taking on the bulk of the assistance rather than encouraging people. Or, well, to be fair, they're not really encouraging, but even just allowing people to dig into their retirement savings plans. And while we do have the, you know, the Prihatin and the Pejana packages that have been announced, it's whether or not they are enough to cover all segments of society that are suffering.
I think his proposal is sensible, asking the government to provide some direct financial assistance like a grant or a soft loan, so you will also think twice as a borrower whether you really need this money before you actually put in your application. But it does create possibly a new set of problems and new challenges, like, you know, and it's quite complicated maybe to even implement something like that. But we know that this budget has been very political. There are many political interests here, right? And UMNO wants this proposal about EPF withdrawal. And so they may not, you know, many MPs from UMNO may not support this budget unless this proposal is in.
Yeah, and if you want to learn more about how the budget works and how the government gets funding, you can actually check out my episode on Ringgit and Cents from 2 weeks ago. The title is How the Budget Works and Tax Reliefs to Watch. The tax reliefs are probably irrelevant at this point, but I spoke to an economist about the budget process and taking on debt to fund the books. A great listen to kind of understand that, how that works.
Do check that out on the BFM app or on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. But right now, we are about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and after that, the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Murray Hebert, author of the book Under Beijing's Shadow. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.